Okay. Acknowledge my co-investigators, which the list is there. And I also have no conflict to disclose, but want to acknowledge the Office of Adolescent Health for funding this project. Learning objective in this project was to describe the Haitian American Responsible Teen Project, understand the impact of a culturally adopted intervention on HIV knowledge, condom knowledge and attitude, and engage in risky behaviors, and appreciate the importance of subpopulation in eliminating disparities, pregnancy, and STI. Despite the declining rate of pregnancy, disparity continues to exist among vulnerable population compared to adults. Adolescents have at higher risk of having an unintended pregnancy, STI, and contracted HIV, and ethnicity and cultural background seem to play an important role. Is it the same? Again, why do we focus on Haitians? Well, they're increasing numbers in the United States, and this is a growing number of a population with past experience of poverty, limited education, trauma, ACE, and natural disasters like occurred in 2010. Sex education is not a priority in Haiti, and when it exists, it's not uniformly available. Teenage pregnancy is on the rise. That's the reports we get from Haiti after the earthquake, and I witnessed it myself after the earthquake. I've never seen so many young girls with babies, and some of those kids finally were here. New immigrants have limited access in general to sex education because when you just arrive, you don't know the language, you don't know how to interpret what you're hearing. The intervention, we call it HART, Haitian American Responsible Teen, a 10-lesson curriculum. It's a cultural adaptation of becoming responsible teen, BART, which has been, it's a comprehensive education that has been, it's evidence-based and have been proven to work in Haitian American communities. So, but HART is the largest studies among Haitian youth so far, with an enrollment of 637 participants. Two additional lessons were added to the curriculum, the original BART. One was on the sexual anatomy, because most kids from Haiti who just arrived didn't get a sense of their anatomy, physiology, all this work. And also, we had a large proportion with post-traumatic stress disorders, not only caused by the earthquake, but in Haiti, if you know anything about my country, there have been, it's coup d'etat. When it's not coup d'etat, it's a mudslide, it's some kind of hurricane, it's a very high area of trauma and disasters. The cases for discussion in the BART were contextualized in the Haitian culture. We had to change names, give the kids something they understand and can discuss. The counter so in terms of the counterfactual, we had a nutrition education that was adapted from a fitness, nutrition fitness curriculum adapted from a program we have at Boston Medical Center and also from the fantastic kid of the California Adolescent Nutrition Group. In terms of the methods, HART was a two-group parallel randomized control trial with longitudinal follow-up at 6 months and at 12 months. It was held once a week for 10 weeks during the fall and twice a week during the summer and the sprints. And each session was about 1.5 to 2 hours. The target population against, they were Haitian 13 to 19, 9 and 10 graders, and you'll be surprised that we have 10 graders in 19-year-old in 10th grade, it again reflects the education in Haiti. Some kids come older than age 4 grade, and there are some special schools in Haiti that accommodate such kids so they can get some kind of education before really getting back to some trades. I said we had 637 that met the eligibility criteria. 326 were randomized in the treatment group and 311 were in the control group. 570 were retained for the first post-test at outreach with 290 went to the treatment and 280 were in the control. Program site included 9 high school and 2 community-based organizations. The data collection was self-administered survey instruments. Data collected at 4 points, baseline, immediate post-test, intervention, post-intervention, 6 months and 12 months. In this presentation, we're going to focus only on the immediate post-test findings. In terms of the analytical methods, we did bivariate analysis was used at, for baseline comparison of the groups and regression analysis to determine treatment effects. Baseline data showed that the treatment in the control group did not differ in baseline demographics, except that the treatment group subject were more likely to have been recent arrival in the U.S. So this variable was controlled in the by 4 in regression analysis. There were no significant difference between treatment and control groups at baseline in intent to have sex in the next year, to have sex next year with a condom, or to have sex next year with birth control, nor in condom knowledge and attitude, or nor in being home alone in the past 3 months more than 2 times within with somebody you really like and was attracted to, or kissing and touching online in similar situations. The only measure different at baseline between the groups was a slightly higher score by the control group on HIV knowledge. But this was immediately post-test the treatment, we could see that there was a different higher knowledge among the treatment group. At immediate post-test, treatment subject did not differ from control in their reported intention to have sex or to use birth control in the coming year, but were more likely to report intention to use condoms. Treatment group subjects were more likely to correctly answer questions on condom efficacy in preventing HIV and pregnancy, and to report no embarrassment in purchasing condom, knowledge of condom purchase and restriction and age restriction for condom purchase. The treatment group subjects were substantially and significantly more likely to report that they had not been home alone with someone they were attracted to in the past 3 months. They were trained favoring the treatment group in other risky behaviors that did not reach statistical significance. At the 6 month post-test did not have any significant difference in rates of reported sexual intercourse, sex without condom, or sex without birth control. There are some limitations in this. They are similar to the one I presented before. This study did not take into account sexual orientation. All outcome data rely on self-report, and accuracy of self-report of sexual behavior among Haitians is not known. And reporting accuracy may differ also between those who recently arrived or don't know the ability to talk your mind here as opposed to being oppressed in the other country. And the HEART program was effective in increasing HIV knowledge, improving knowledge and attitude about condom use, reducing exposure to risky behavior. The HEART program did not reduce risky behavior at 6 months post-test. However, our finding at post-test suggests behavioral impact that may become evident for 12 months. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And we now have about 10 minutes for questions. So we'll take questions or comments from the audience. Yes, please.
I have two. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, a question and comment. The question, I can't remember who said it. Maybe you. You mentioned one of the very important features of the OAH rank was to having the technical assistance and training. So we just got an OAH rank. We're in Baltimore. And I'm just wondering, does that exist or will it exist? Because we didn't. We're
trying to figure those things out around. Just that technical assistance piece and training from the national level.
On your new OAH project?
Yes. I believe so. I'm not familiar with the new OAH project, but
okay.
I know there are some national. There's one
that's
in the room. I believe we
received
a national.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is.
All about trying to find out. Okay. How can we? Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, but there is a level at OAH where they gave funding to training organizations that who will support your project. maybe you'll find it next week.
Okay.
At your meeting.
Okay. And then the other comment, you talked a lot about LARC, but we've been doing a lot of work in Baltimore City to increase LARC usage among young people. Two other additional barriers that came out was, first of all, bad news travels fast. We've done a ton of focus groups, and like if a person, there's one person who had a bad experience, it will trump all of the positive like ideas in the room. I mean,
it's so important for providers to really, as part of the counseling, to talk about the side effects and what to expect in terms of like bleeding or so forth.
Yep.
It is so important to include that in the counseling piece so that there are no surprises the team, that any woman knows what to expect with an IUD.
And one other strategy, we were thinking that we wanted a like positive message campaign. We've been trying to find young people who actually are fine on their LARC to do like video snippets and go up on our health department. And in the other area, we sort of think we've addressed like the cost on the side of the patient, but now it seems like providers are having really hard time billing. So I don't know what that means and if that's just like the next level of barriers that we'll have to work with.
So there are a lot of issues with reimbursement. And we are at the federal level, there's a lot of agencies. There's CDC, OPA, CMS, CMMI addressing reimbursement issues. And so we are really talking to private insurers as well as Medicaid about reimbursing for the full cost of the device, about reimbursing for services related to contraceptive services, including counseling, the insertion, the removal if there's a compulsion, reinsertion. We're also addressing with both private insurers as well as Medicaid some of the administrative and logistical barriers that are aside from the costs that are very could be big barriers, like pre-authorization, step therapy where you have to fill out a method before you can get a higher effective method. So we're with you. We're dealing with that. We're at the federal level.
Pediatrician, if they haven't necessarily been trained, let's try to get someone, either a OB/GYN fellow or someone who can actually insert and maintain and try to like get built for it. It just seems like it's a mess on that end.
And you know, AAP, they have a physician standard supporting LARC as part of contraceptive, a brief. And we are doing a lot of work at CDC with AAP. Training pediatricians, but it's very important to not only train OB/GYNs, but also the pediatricians, as well as primary care providers. We're finding working community health centers and FQHC that, that's a prime opportunity to ask an adolescent that is there for a sports physical or something, or sore throat, to ask about their sexual intentions, like their pregnancy intentions. Do you want to get pregnant next year? No. Well, then what do you do? Are you on the method? No. Well, let's talk about the method. And so it's very important to train a full range of providers around the different methods as well as the counseling.
Thank you.
I also wanted to just add, not to say that we actually have a lot of our resources from our project. So you will be receiving, I'm sure, a lot of training technical assistance through your OAH project, I'm sure. But we have all the resources from our project. So if there's anything you ever would like or would like additional, OAH has all of our materials as well. So I think you're going to see it probably in some sort of adaptation. But if you do want to contact me, I will be happy to share whatever we have. And then also Joy and Rena on the panel, they are also OAH grantee and have done this work for the past 5 years. So I would write down their email because they're great resources as well.
And I think, was there a question over here? There's a question in the back. Just a few days ago.